Amen. What a blessing. What a Savior. You realize when the women came to the tomb that day and they asked the question, who will roll us away the stone? And they got there, the stone was rolled away already. The stone was not moved so Jesus could exit the tomb. The stone was moved so the people could get in to see that the tomb was empty. Our Lord can appear anywhere, as evidenced by the fact that when he met the disciples in John chapter 20, they were in the upper room, afraid of others, and the doors were shut, the Bible says, and Jesus appeared in the midst. He walked through the walls, so he didn't need to have the stone rolled away to get out. We praise the Lord for a risen Savior. What a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to call your attention to verse number 5, which underlined these words, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. The verse says, for we preach not ourselves. Always interesting when someone's trying to preach about themselves, isn't it? That's not what we preach about. We preach about the Lord Jesus Christ who is risen. He's alive forevermore. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We preach Christ. Now, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, the message that we preach is not very popular today. We live in an age where everything and anything is accepted if it goes along with the powers that be or the sentiment of popular thought. But if you preach Christ, you're ostracized. But I'd much rather have Christ than anyone else. Isn't the song says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold? Amen. We preach Christ. Really, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a very long treatise of why we preach or we should preach Christ. We understand he's a resurrected Savior. By the way, no other religion has a living God. Do you realize that? No other religion in the world has a living God. You can go to Moscow and see Lenin in his tomb. He's dead. You can go to anywhere where someone worships a belief or a tenet. But the truth matter is, you go to Jerusalem, you're going to find an empty tomb. Jesus isn't there. He's alive forevermore. We preach Christ. Let me give you some reasons as to why we preach or we should preach Christ. Look at the Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We preach Christ because, first of all, the manifestation of the truth. It says in verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now let me pause right there for a moment, because there is a teaching that you may find in the world today that says this, let conscience be your guide. How many have ever heard that? Let conscience be your guide. Well, that's faulty thinking, because our conscience can never be our guide, because the conscience can be trained. Matter of fact, you read through the rest of the New Testament, you'll find that not only can a conscience be trained, but your conscience can be seared. A conscience is not a guide, it is a police officer. It blows the whistle, if you will. And so the Bible says that we preach Christ, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, verse number 3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach Christ. We preach Christ because, first of all, people need to understand the truth of the Word of God. The reality is there are lost people everywhere. And the Bible says that there's the gospel that it is hid from individuals. Did not Jesus say to a very religious man in John chapter 3, ye must be what? Born again. How about 1 John chapter 5, I believe. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now that's a very exclusive statement, is it not? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How about this? Did not Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Notice Jesus did not say in John chapter 14, I am a way. Right? He didn't say that. He says, I am the way. I think I told you the story. Dr. Hudson, one of the bygone era preachers, back when he was pastoring full-time and working for the post office. He was at work one day, and he was trying to be a witness to his fellow co-workers, and they said, Curtis, you don't believe like we do, and we don't believe like you do. You believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We believe that you can get to heaven many other ways. For example, you live in one part of Atlanta, we live in another part of Atlanta, another of co-workers live in another part of Atlanta, but we all get to the post office, we end up at the same spot, we just get here different ways. He said, that sounds all fine and good, but when we die, we don't go to the post office. Well, there's truth in that. Why? Because the Bible says, Jesus quoted himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And for millennia, mankind has tried thousands and thousands, yea, millions of ways to get to God other than Jesus Christ, and they failed every single time. Why? Because the gospel is hid to them. If we do not preach Christ and Him crucified and risen again, then there is no hope for the world. So we preach Christ so that the gospel cannot be hid to individuals. Aren't you glad the gospel wasn't hid from you? When someone took the time and preached to you that Jesus Christ loves you so much, that He died for you, that He was buried for you, and that He rose again from the grave on the third day for you, that is the gospel. It is the good news. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we preach Christ because we want people to be to have an understanding of what the truth is. We preach Christ for the manifestation of the truth. I'm so glad someone took the Word of God to me when I was a 16-year-old boy and showed me the Word of God that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no 12-step program, friend. There's no good work we could perform. There's no good deed we could do. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize only one time in the entire New Testament was the question asked, what must I do to be saved? Only one time was that question asked. And the answer was this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We preach Christ because of the manifestation of the truth. But notice as we go on, he says in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7 he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Would you underline or mark that word, this treasure? What's he referring to, this treasure? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. If you were to look at your hands, you know what that is? That's your earthen vessel. Some may look better than others, don't they? Some have more hair than others. We were talking with the Joneses yesterday, and I made the comment, my wife has never seen me in person with hair on top of my head, other than the big Afro wig I wore when we were going doing a skit, that which is a whole other story in and of itself. She's never known me to have hair on top of my head. We met when I was 21 years old, and I looked then just like I do now, at the age of 21. Our earthen vessels differ in looks, don't they? But there are earthen vessels. And the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, what is that treasure? That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse number 5, for we preach Christ. We preach Christ. And then verse number 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, the truth of the matter is, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He does not walk with you. He is inside of you. He indwells you in the person of His Holy Spirit. Take the time to go back with me to the Gospel according to John. I want you to see this. Gospel according to John, chapter number 16. John chapter 16. Now, this is the account, really, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is Christ's private ministry with His disciples. There's no more crowds, there's no more multitudes. It's just Jesus and His disciples. And He's giving them some final instructions before the cross, and really some instructions about after His ascension as well. He spent 3.5 years with them in person. And He's been teaching them and training them of what He's about to do, to bleed and die on the cross. And really, some of them tried to stand in that way. Lord, you can't do it. We want you here. But notice what the Bible says in John chapter 16, in verse number 6. He says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Well, naturally so. He's told them that He's about to go away. Sorrow has filled their heart. But notice verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient means in their best interest. He says, it is in your best interest that I go away. He says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus is telling the disciples, look, it's in your best interest that I go away. Because when I go away, when I ascend to my Father, I will send the Comforter to you, because for 3.5 years I have been limited in your presence on a one-on-one basis. But when the Comforter comes, He will indwell you, and wherever you go, I can be with each and every single one of you. Think about this. Peter went in one part of the world, John went to another. And yet Jesus was with both of them at the same time, in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the treasure that we have in our earthen vessels, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, His Spirit abides in you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How about that? Wherever you go, He goes. Whatever you see, He sees. Whatever you experience, He is right there with you. He is the paraclete, the walk beside you. And no matter what you face, the good times and the bad, He is the Comforter. He's the treasure in the earthen vessels. But not only that, we preach Christ because of the manifestation of the truth. People need the Lord. By the way, the only hope our country has is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not in politics, friend. It's not in politics. It's in getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. You want to help your community? Win people to Christ. You want to have better citizens? Win them to Christ. You want to have a better community that you raise your children in? Give the gospel to people so that their lives can be changed. We preach Christ because people need to hear the truth. We preach Christ to help them understand that there is a treasure that they have in their earthen vessels. But also we preach Christ because of the trouble that we have victory over. Notice what happens. He finishes verse number 7 talking about this treasure that we have. Look at verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing upon the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever gone through a difficult time? Would you mind raising your hand? Those of you who could not, it is soon coming. It is right around the corner. Can I be an encouragement to you this morning? Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Let me encourage you today. You've got trouble coming. That's a great encouragement. Preacher said we got trouble coming. Right. Why is that? Because we're human flesh. But I want you to notice what Christ, or what the Bible says about Christ and His resurrection and how He ties this to the trouble that we face. Because the truth of the matter is, every single one of us are going to face a tribulation and a troubled time. Every single one of us will. That, as sparks fly upward, we're going to face trouble, the Bible says. Look at verse number 14. Knowing that He was raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, what's that next word? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Here's the truth that the Apostle Paul's speaking about under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Christians are going to have difficulties too. They're going to face tremendous health needs. They're going to face tremendous family problems. There may be conflict in the workplace that Christians may have to face. There may be conflict with other individuals that Christians are going to face. In other words, if we walk this life, we are going to face trouble. We are all going to face difficulty. We are all going to face trial. But the truth of the matter is, every single trouble, every single trial, because Christ is risen from the dead, all of that is a light affliction. And all of it is temporal. What Christ has done on the cross, by His death, His burial, His resurrection, because He lives, we shall live also. And the things that we cannot see with the eyes of our head are eternal, but we see them with the eyes of faith. knowing that everything we face in this life is going to pass. It's temporal. And because of the resurrection, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, knowing that that which is eternal far surpasses that which is temporal. Some are going through a very difficult time right now. I mean, very difficult. You may feel as though your world is spinning. Some of you may get to the point where you may end up looking like me because you're pulling the rest of your hair out. I mean, we make jokes, but the truth of the matter is, there's some people in this room right now going through very grievous, hard times right now. Can I encourage you something this morning? Because of Christ's resurrection, everything that you face right now, everything you are experiencing right now, it's temporal. It has an end. It will pass. Because Christ lives again, that which is eternal far surpasses that which is temporal. Now, I'll be the first one to admit, going through that trial or that trouble doesn't seem like it's temporal, does it? We may ask ourselves, when is this ever going to end? Why don't you read Psalm 13 sometime and study Psalm 13? David asked the question multiple times in that psalm, how long, Lord? It's the how long psalm. David's going through a difficult time. How long is this going to go on? When will this end? Almost sound like a 10-year-old. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Lord, is this over yet? Lord, is this over yet? Lord, is this over yet? How long? By the time you get to the end of Psalm 13, even though David's circumstances never changes, his outlook does. Because he realized everything that he faces right now is temporal. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ lives. That is true. It is constant. It is eternal. Can I say it this way? His work is done. It's finished. That which we face on a daily basis, it has an ending. It will end at some point in time. Don't look at what's in front of you. Sometimes we can't see the forest because of the tree, right? And we miss the big picture. Don't miss the forest because of the trees. Because Jesus lives, that which you face right now will end. Let's go back to John chapter 16, would you please? I want you to see this. John chapter 16. As Jesus finishes instructing the disciples, he asked them in verse number 31, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Notice verse number 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, what you're facing right now is a light affliction. It may not seem light, but compared to the eternal which you will someday inherit, what you face right now truly is temporal. It's a light affliction, and it will pass. And I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, because Jesus lives and His work is finished, that which you face right now cannot compare with the treasure that you have in your earthen vessel at this present time. Jesus is better. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Then the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. For this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Then he says in verse number 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Because of what Jesus did that day when he rose up from the grave, he conquered all. Is there anything that Jesus Christ has not conquered as of yet? He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He is the one that gives life to those that believe on him. He is the one that becomes the treasure in our earthen vessels. And he is the one that takes our troubles and makes them temporal, because he lives again. What a tremendous blessing this is. Well, no wonder. No wonder the apostle said, "We preach Christ." Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be cruel. But biblically speaking, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, this is the best you're ever going to see in your life. This is the best it's going to get. But because Christ has conquered death by rising from the dead, you can have new life in him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, he wants to make you new. He wants to be the treasure in your earthen vessel. He wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to walk with you in your difficult times. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his grace so that you can conquer that which you have in your life that you're facing. He's living again. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We preach Christ. What a blessing. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus.